Okay, good morning, everybody. Great to have our multinational gathering. It's a foretaste of heaven where we'll all be gathered around the throne, people from every tribe and tongue and nation and language. We're continuing this morning in 1 Peter, the series we're doing over the summer. And it has come to my attention, okay, so our theme is finding peace in a pressure cooker world, but it's come to my attention that not everybody knows what a pressure cooker is. Hands up if you have a pressure cooker. Yes, we have quite a few pressure cookers. So a pressure cooker is a special type of cooking pot. The lid goes on and it gets clamped on and screwed down and it's dead tight. And so when the heat comes on, the pressure increases. And that means that things cook quicker. So the science bit is if you're boiling something, a stew, 100 degrees is the boiling point and things are cooking at 100 degrees. But if you have the pressure on, the pressure goes up, and so the temperature goes up higher as well, so it cooks quicker. So that's what a pressure cooker is. And so our illustration is that life can be like a pressure cooker as believers. The world exerts pressure on us, and it can be uncomfortable. And so what we read in 1 Peter helps believers in living in life when we're under pressure, like the pressure cooker. So Shagun is going to come and read our passage. So kids, watch out. There were words in the quiz that are in the passage. So pay attention and see if you can see the words from the quiz.
Hi, everyone. Just going to quickly pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering. Thank you for this assembly. We present ourselves before the throne of mercy, for the throne of grace. We present ourselves before you, Father. We empty ourselves before you, O Lord. And we pray that you do that which pleases only you with our destinies. And we pray that our existence here on earth, our lives, we glorify you. In the name of Jesus, amen. The reading for this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 25. So prepare your minds for service and have self-control. All your hope should be for the gift of grace that will be yours when Jesus comes again. In the past you did not understand, so you did the evil things you wanted. But now you are children of God who obey. So do not live as you lived in the past, but be holy in all that you do, just as God is holy. God is the one who called you. It is written in the scriptures, you must be holy because I am holy. You pray to God and call him Father, and this Father judges each man's work equally. So while you are here on earth, you should live with respect for God. You know that in the past, you were living in a worthless way. You got a way of living from the people who lived before you. But you were saved from that useless life. You were bought, but not with something that ruins like gold or silver. You were bought with the precious blood of the death of Christ, who was like a pure and perfect lamb. Christ was chosen before the world was made, but he was shown to the world in these last times for you. You believe in God through Christ. God raised Christ from death and gave him glory. So your faith and your hope are in God. Now you've made yourselves pure by obeying the truth. Now you can have true love for your brothers. So love each other deeply with all your heart. You have been born again. This new life did not come from something that dies, but from something that cannot die. You were born again through Christ's living message that continues forever. The scripture says, all people are like the grass, and all their strength is like the flowers of the field. The grass dies, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord will live forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so as we read through the passage, you may have noticed some commands. There's some commands in there that Peter gives to the believers. And the ones I picked out were, he tells us we're to serve, we're to have self-control, we're to be holy, we're to love each other deeply. And it looks like it's just a series of religious commands, just like any other religion. All religions have their do's and their don'ts, and these are particular things that we're told to do. But let's have a think about it. I have a picture coming up, and I need your help to understand it. What do you make of this picture? What can you see? What's in the picture? There's a horse, there's a man, and what's the man in? I'm going to call it a cart. But there's something wrong with the picture. What's wrong with it? The cart is before the horse. Don't put the cart before the horse. And it means don't do things in the wrong order. For many things, there's a right order to do it. A, B, C, and you do it in the right order. So for some examples, my shoes. If I was to get up in the morning, heading out to work, I take my shoe, I tie my laces, and then I go to put the shoe on my foot. Is that right? No, Keith, don't put the cart before the horse. Put the shoe on first, tie the laces. What about brushing your teeth? You brush your teeth really, really well, and then you eat sweets. Is that right? No, don't put the cart before the horse. Eat your food, brush your teeth, and try and leave as long as possible after brushing your teeth before you eat anything more. Couple more examples. Putting the cart before the horse, or don't put the cart before the horse. Shirt, if you get a clean shirt, you don't have any creases in it, any wrinkles, so you iron your shirt, and then you put it in the washing machine. All right? No, don't put the cart before the horse. You wash the shirt, and then you iron it. Okay. And a final one, holiday season. Some people are going away on holidays. You book your holiday, you pay the deposit, and then you go to your boss and say, can I have that week off? And the boss says, no, there's five other people ahead of you in the queue. They've all told me months ago they're going on holidays. There is no way you can have that week off. Don't put the cart before the horse. Make sure you're free to go before you book your holiday. It's a bit like that in the Christian faith and the way people look at it. Okay, so the basic principles of the world from a religious perspective is that you live a good life to be acceptable to God. If you do the do's and you don't do the don'ts, you live a good life, salvation. But that's not correct. Okay, well, believing's important, faith's important. How about you live a good life, you try your best to be the best you can be, and you believe the right things? And that'll lead to salvation. But that's not right either. Okay, well, maybe we just need more emphasis on the faith, on believing the right things. So we'll believe, it's really, really important, you believe the right things, and you lead a good life, and that'll be saved. But that one's wrong as well. And all three of those, not getting it right, not getting in the right order, putting the cart before the horse. Okay, the gospel is that we're saved by faith. We believe, and that leads to our salvation, and then we go on to live a good life. That's putting the cart after the horse, not the other way around. In our passage, Peter starts it with a so. It's the first word. In other translations, it's therefore. And as our friend Clem says, if you see a therefore, you've got to ask what it's there for. Okay, so what Peter is writing here depends on what he has previously written. And Jesse led us through the first part of the chapter last week. And the key points I took out of what Jesse said was that the believers are chosen by God, they've been born again, they've had a new birth, they have a living hope and a permanent inheritance. And they were some of the promises that were given there by Peter in the first part of the chapter. So in light of what he wrote previously, Peter is now going on to make these commands, okay? We don't have to do these things in order to be saved. It's because we have been saved that we should do these things. because we're chosen by God, because we've been born again, because we have a living hope, because we have a permanent inheritance. Do this. So he tells us to serve, he tells us to have self-control, he tells us to be holy, and he tells them, who he's writing to love each other deeply. But in this passage, Peter then gets to the heart of the good news. Reading from verse 18. You were saved from that useless life. You were bought not with something that ruins like gold or silver. You were bought with the precious blood of the death of Christ, who is like a pure and perfect lamb. You believe in God through Christ. God raised Christ from death and gave him glory. So your faith and your hope are in God. And that's the heart of the gospel. Jesus died. He took the punishment for our sins. And we put our faith in him. And that is what leads to salvation. A couple of key questions, though. What have we been bought from? So in the middle there, verse 19, you are bought with the precious blood of the death of Christ. So what have we been bought from? And in the Bible, there's this picture of us being slaves, that we're in slavery to sin. We're trapped in the system, and we can't get ourselves out. We're helpless. But the death of Jesus provides the way by which we can escape out of slavery. The word sometimes used is redeemed, and to redeem something means to buy back, to buy it back. Jesus' death has bought us back, he's redeemed us from the state of slavery to sin. And the enormous price that was paid is the precious blood of Jesus. The second image then is the pure and perfect lamb. So in the Old Testament, God set up a series of animal sacrifices, and animals had to be killed, had to be sacrificed as an offering to God. But it was like a temporary thing, a temporary cover over our sin. The animal had to be perfect, spotless, pure, blemishless, couldn't be deformed in any way. But it was only temporary. And the sacrifices had to be repeated over and over. Those sacrifices were only a picture. They were a picture pointing forward to Jesus, who is the true sacrifice. When we get to the New Testament, John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, he saw him coming, and he said, "Look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He recognized who Jesus was. Jesus is the real sacrificial lamb. He's what all the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed forward to. And in his death, once and for all, he paid the price for our sins. He has bought us, he has redeemed us. And that's what Peter stresses here. Maybe you're here today, and it's the first time you've heard that. Or maybe you've heard something like it before, but today is the day that it clicks. What should you do? Verse 21, you believe in God through Christ. God raised Christ from death and gave him glory, so your faith and your hope are in God. So perhaps today is the day when you need to accept what Jesus has done, put your faith, put your hope in him. And if you do that, please talk to somebody. You can talk to me after church, some of the leaders of the church, or if somebody invited you here today, talk to the person who brought you along. But perhaps you've been a believer for some time. If you already believe in Jesus, then what do you do now? So, looking back at the verses we read, prepare your minds for service, have self-control, be holy in all that you do, just as God is holy. God is the one who called you. It's written in the scriptures, you must be holy because I am holy. And then finally, love each other deeply with all your heart. Don't put the cart before the horse. You're not serving, having self-control, being holy, and loving each other deeply in order to get God's acceptance. You're doing it because you have got God's acceptance through Jesus. The cart is after the horse. I want us to take a couple more minutes to think and to pray in each of these areas: service, self-control, holiness, and love. So let's just be quiet, and I will prompt you that you pray and ask God, what do you want me to do in this particular area? So the first one, let's take a minute and pray and ask God, how can I serve others? Let's pray quietly. Secondly, pray and ask God about self-control. Lord, in what areas do I need to grow in self-control? Third one, be holy. God calls us to be like him, to be set apart. In what areas does God want me to grow in holiness? And final one, love. How can I love my brothers and sisters more dearly? Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made at the cross, that the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world died on our behalf. Thank you for the good news that we put our faith in Jesus and we can be accepted by you. We pray that we wouldn't fall into the mindset of having to perform to gain your acceptance, but that we would trust in you and that you would work by your Holy Spirit in our lives and that you would make us more like you, more holy, that you would prepare us for service, that we would be active in serving others, that you would give us self-control. And I pray, Lord, that you would enable us to love each other dearly and that people around us would say of Christians, look how they love each other, and that you would be brought glory through that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.